Father, bless these words to our hearts. Father, anoint our ears to hear and give us a portion from your throne. In Jesus' name. 1 Samuel 17. And we're going to go to verse 9 and then we're going to skip to verse 28. If he is able to fight with me, this is Goliath saying to the Israelites. He told them, send me a man. Send me your best man. And he says, if he is able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And then in verse 28, and Eliab, his oldest brother, and it's talking about David, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see a battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And the word cause there is dabar in the original language, and it actually speaks of a word regarding a specific thing. Is there not a word regarding this specific thing? Is there not a cause? Now in Proverbs 29:18, the Word of God says, where there is no vision, the people perish. What does that mean? Vision there in the original language refers to the preaching of the Word of God. Where there is no preaching of the Word of God, the people perish. Why do the people perish if there is no preaching of the Word of God? Because if there is no preaching of the Word of God, there is no cause. There is no word regarding a specific thing. Now, when Goliath spoke to the Israelites, he said something that's true. Kill me, then we will be your servants. Right? Kill me, and we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then ye shall be our servants and serve us. Now, Goliath is a picture of the devil. Philistines, in application, is a picture of the world and the world's influence on the flesh. And what he is saying here is kill the influence of the world and of Satan on the flesh, and then the world will become a servant to you. Then the things of the world, the things that are in the world, will simply become tools for you. And that is all. They will not become a trap for you. They will not become a lure for you. You will not serve them. They will simply become tools for you. But if you do not, if the world conquers you, then you will become a servant of the world. And this is exactly true with the flesh. Deal with the flesh, Amalek. Deal with the flesh, King Saul. Kill Amalek, kill his sheep, kill his children, kill the women, kill the oxen, kill every single thing of Amalek. Now what sense did that make? What did the sheep do wrong? They were of Amalek. That's what they did wrong. If I don't deal with the flesh, then the flesh will deal with me. If I don't pick up my cross, then that which remains, that which was not crucified in my practical experience, is going to become my master. And so I have to pick up my cross so that I may have a life with God. See, death came before the resurrection. And at the cross, I find my life. Because the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. So my life becomes the life of God when I've picked up my cross, because it's the life of God that lives in me. This is not a common thing all too often. But why do I want that anyway? Why is that something that is important? Why did Christ have to die? Is there not a cause? Is there not a word regarding this? Is there not a purpose in this? Is there not a cause? And in all things of God, there is a cause. And it doesn't matter whether I am 15 or 50 or whether I'm 150. In all things, there is a cause. And Noah was 300 some odd years old when he got the promise from God. And there was a cause in the promise. There was a word regarding the promise and a purpose in the word regarding that promise. And there was a cause. What we believers sometimes forget, I think, is that there is a cause. In all things, there is a cause. And we think of things in a very simple way. We think of things as they appear by sight. We think of things as we evaluate them by natural reasoning. But is there not a cause? Let's go to John 18 and verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born. For this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Why did Christ come into the world? Why was He crucified? Why was He brought before Pilate? Wasn't there a cause? Well, yes, there was a cause. The cause was that He would bear witness to the truth. The cause was in, what, Luke 19:10, that He came to seek and save that which was lost. There was a cause. A lot of people will accept Christ as far as a historical man, but not His cause. A lot of believers will accept the crucifixion that led to their redemption, but not the cause that causes God to live in their life. What do I mean by that? Pick up your cross and follow me. Isn't there a cause? We live in our own evaluations. We live in our own preferences. We live in our natural thinking. We look by sight. We evaluate a situation. We think about it and we make a decision. You know what? You just made a mistake. You just failed. What do you mean I just failed? That's the perfectly reasonable thing to do. That's how we do it as reasonable people. We have to be responsible. Oh yeah? Is your mind the mind of Christ? You know how you make a decision? You pray and you be led. And sometimes you're going to pray and you're going to be led into things that make absolutely not one ounce of sense to anybody, including you. Like, what sense did it make for Isaiah to walk around stark naked for 2 years? God was showing Israel where they were. What sense did it make to have John on the island of Patmos boiled in oil 3 times? I don't know, but look what came out of it. Right? Revelation, 3 epistles, and the Gospel of John. Was there not a cause? What sense did it make to John when God showed him the revelation and he saw helicopters, attack helicopters on a tarmac, I believe they were. He talks about the locusts and they had the wings as the sound of many horses and they had hair as woman's hair and they had power to hurt men. I had a friend who was in the military, who was a captain in the Army Intelligence during Vietnam. And he was walking across a tarmac one time and looked at an attack helicopter and that verse came back to him from Revelation and he understood what John was talking about. Is there not a cause? People go out on the mission field, they lay their life down, and the world thinks they're crazy. Christians often think they're crazy. And with Christians, oh, it's good for them. Not for me. I'm not the missionary type. How do you know you're not the missionary type? Right? C.T. Studd, double kidney disease at 65. The doctor tells him, if you go to Africa, you're going to be dead within a couple of months. He takes his coffin, packs it, goes to Africa, and stays for 18 years. Is there not a cause? In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 6, For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. And the word judged there is in the original language the word krino, and it means to separate and to distinguish and to judge in one's own mind as to what is proper, right, and expedient. And so what this is actually saying is they might be separated unto God. They might be separated unto God. And they live according to the Spirit of God. Unless I'm living according to the Spirit of God, I'm not separated unto God. I can say that I am all alike because I believe Him, but unless I'm being led by the Spirit of God, I'm not separated unto Him. Because He's the only one who can do that. He's the only one that can transform the heart. You take a young gal who's going down the wrong road, and the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, touches her heart and completely transforms her life. Is there not a cause? How does that happen? The Holy Spirit is how that happens. Why does that happen? For what purpose? God so loved. Because God so loved. God so loved that young gal that He sent His only Son. God so loved. People go out on the mission field and sometimes they lose their lives, sometimes they lose their families. Ed Nyrum Judson's was out on the mission field, lost one wife, got remarried, lost the second wife, lost his children, eventually lost his own life. But still, to this very day, Burma has only one translation of the Bible, and that was his translation. And his wife translated the Bible into another language. Now I can't remember what it is. But that's the only translation there too. 150 years later, people are still reading his Bible. And people would look at him and say, what sense did this make? This man wasted his life and he killed his family. What sense did this make? And he was a promising guy. He graduated from a good university. And he was going ahead for a good career. And he was an intelligent man, very capable. And you look at him by sight and you say, this man wasted his life. But God says, is there not a cause? And yeah, maybe he died. And yeah, maybe he got thrown in prison for a few years. And he's persecuted. And yeah, it was hard. But is there not a cause? You get some lady who prays quietly, she takes care of her kids, or maybe she has bad health or whatever it is, and people say to her, how do you do this? I mean, come on, you know, how can you still glorify God? But is there not a cause? There is a cause. You get some 15-year-old little kid standing up in a high school and some idiot points a gun at her and says, deny Christ. And she says, I will not. And he kills her. And people look at it and say, what a terrible tragedy. How incredibly awful that is. And yes, it is a tragedy. And yes, it is incredibly awful. But was there not a cause when all those souls all around the world got saved because of that young woman's stand? Because she wouldn't deny it. Was there not a cause? How could God permit this terrible thing? Is there not a cause? Joseph gets thrown into the pit, and then he goes over into Potiphar's wife, and his wife lies about him, and he gets thrown into jail, and people, you know, he's sitting in jail, and the cupbearer wouldn't go and tell the Pharaoh about him like he said he would. Wasn't there a cause? You look at that situation by sight and you say, this is absolutely horrible, this is wrong, this absolutely should never have happened. What an outrage this is. Is there not a cause? Oh, you forgot about one little detail. Israel was delivered because of that man. If he wasn't in jail, he would not have become the governor of Egypt. Second only to the Pharaoh, Israel would have stayed and starved. But he delivered Israel. Was there not a cause? You look at some of these Christians who are persecuted in the world. In China and countries like this, or some of the Muslim countries, and they killed or thrown into jail and tortured and beaten. And it seems like such a horrible thing, and certainly it is a horrible thing, but is there not a cause? Richard Warmbrand, 14 years in communist prisons, tortured almost every single day. What purpose was there? And all he had to do was say, no, there is no God. And they would have let him go, but he refused to turn his back on his Savior. And say, how what a terrible injustice it is. And yes, it is an injustice, but is there not a cause when he started preaching the gospel and people came flocking to hear him and souls got saved? Was there not a cause? You see, one soul is worth more than the whole world. One soul, a single soul, is worth more than the whole world. Is there not a cause? And Stephen got stoned. And he didn't do anything wrong, and he was stoned by the religious crowd because he told them they were wrong before God for having crucified Christ, and that they actually crucified the Savior. And the crowd got angry at him, this religious bunch, and they took him out and they started throwing stones at him, and he looks up into heaven and God is standing at the throne. He says, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And they kill him, and God took his spirit right there and then. And the young man was standing there in approval, because those things had to be approved. A young man was standing in approval, and his name was Saul. Was there not a cause for Stephen's death? You see, if Stephen hadn't died, Saul would not have become Paul, and 2/3 of the New Testament would not have been written. Was there not a cause? We worry about things so much. The fact of the matter is, the just will live by faith. Because by faith, I will see the cause. And only by faith, I will see the cause. You get this 15-year-old kid, what sense does this make? Going up against a 9-foot wall armor, 275 pounds of armor, 37 pounds of javelin. This giant. He's got his sword and he's got his javelin, he's got his armor, and this little kid who can't even fit into the armor. Saul tried to give him an armor, and he said, this is too big, I can't use it. And this little kid, he says, I can take him. People look at him like he's absolutely insane, because the rest of Israel was too cowardly to go up against the giant. And so this kid comes up and he says, is there not a cause? Is there no reason for me to go to this battle, since you guys are too chicken to do it? You great and mighty warriors with all your weapons and armor, give me a 5 rocks and a slingshot, I'll take care of it for you, because my God is great and He is more than able, and He will take care of it and He'll deliver us, and this uncircumcised Philistine is absolutely nothing to us. Was there not a cause? Absolutely there was a cause. And the giants in the land, in the promised land, and the 40 spies go in there, and they didn't know the cause. They didn't know the cause. Only 2 of them knew the cause. The rest of them did not know the cause. And because of that, 40 years they spent wandering in the wilderness, where they could have been there in 11 days. But those 2 spies, Caleb and Joshua, they knew the cause. And he said, those guys aren't any giants. They're grasshoppers. They're nothing to us. They were giants. In fact, they were biologically, literally, they were gigantic people. And those guys, say, compared to God, they're nothing. They are little specks of dust. God isn't intimidated by them. Is there not a cause for us to be here? Is there not a cause for us to go? Is there not the Word of God that is leading us into this place, with the promise of God going in front of us and God's Spirit leading us? And how can we lose when the Ark is before us? Is there not a cause? Is there not a word about this? People get into these circumstances. Sometimes it's at work or at school or in their family life, or maybe they contend with illness, or maybe they contend with different types of problems. And they seem so overwhelming sometimes, and they seem so helpless, and people just don't know what to do about it anymore. They say, oh God, I can't do it anymore. They just throw their hands up and they want to give up. And God says, is there not a cause? Amy Carmichael laid up for years and years in her bed because she was ill, but she knew that she was called, but she was ill and she couldn't go. And so she put a map of China over her bed, was there not a cause for the years that she spent in prayer for that country? And then when she became a missionary, she became extraordinarily effective. Was there no cause? You get somebody like Mother Teresa going into the back streets of Calcutta, taking care of dying people, people that are completely abandoned. And she could have had a good career, and you know where she was a nun, right? And then those kind of people were about the only people who had any kind of a career, you know, decent life at all in a country like Albania. And she leaves and she goes into the backwoods of the world, to one of the most difficult places there is. And if she was a young woman, and you could have asked her, are you crazy, out of your mind? You're wasting your life. You're wasting your opportunities. What are you doing this for? This makes no sense. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family. Make a life for yourself. Is there not a cause to take care of those people dying? Well, I don't know. I don't agree with Catholic doctrine necessarily, but that woman was a beautiful believer, one of the most beautiful believers I've ever heard of, and she brought people to Christ. Is there not a cause? You get a woman who lives in a trash heap in a Muslim country, who was raped there and beaten and brutalized in that trash heap, but wasn't there a cause for her to be there? Wasn't there a cause for her poverty when hundreds and hundreds of children in that same trash heap got saved and they went home and their parents got saved and all of a sudden hundreds of people came to know the Lord? Wasn't there a cause? The world says, look out for number one. Yeah, look out for number one, but you just don't realize who number one actually is. You think it's you. You're dust. You're not any number. Actually, you are. You're number six. The animals came before you. Is there not a cause to the things that take place in our lives? Is there not a purpose for God allowing what He has allowed? I used to know a woman who was a teacher of kids with special handicaps, and she had adopted a boy who was almost blind and deaf at 13 years old, and she couldn't. So she became his foster mother. She couldn't adopt him because she didn't have enough money. The teachers don't make a lot, especially working in private schools. They don't make a lot. So she couldn't afford to adopt this child, but she became his foster mom and she took care of this boy and she loved him with all her heart. And then just as soon as this boy is about to be adopted by somebody, the boy gets some sort of disease and dies. And she said to God, how could you let this happen? I had asked you, God, and she did. I know this woman, she had prayed, God, do not let anything bad happen to this boy. And just as he was about to be blessed, he dies. Wasn't there a cause? She couldn't see the cause, but was there a cause? A couple months later, they found out that the man who was about to adopt him was a notorious child molester. Wasn't there a cause? God answered her prayer. Was there no cause? A little five-year-old girl, I know a couple, a little five-year-old girl several years ago now, came down with cancer. And a tumor in her abdomen was almost as big as she was. And she would stay in her hospital bed and she would raise her hands to Christian worship music. I think it was Steve Green. And her mother would put a tape in the machine and play this music. And she would raise her hands to God and she would glorify her Savior. And the doctors and the nurses who were walking by that hospital room couldn't walk out without tears in their eyes. Was there no cause? Was there not a cause? And she died at 5 years old. But two decades later, we're still talking about her. Was there no cause? This little girl was a soul winner for 5 years. Was there no cause? Oh yes, it's horrible. God forbid anybody ever get that. But when it happens, is there no cause for these things? Is there no cause for suffering? Is there no cause for the image of Christ being worked into a person so that another person can look at them and say, I see Christ in your eyes, and they are drawn to the Lord because of the love of God's children. Is there no cause? You see, we like our convenient, comfortable Christianity so long as it requires no cross. And we go to our church Sunday morning church service and we like it there. We've got people there we like and we associate with them and they become our friends. And that's all fine and good. But if that's all that I have, I don't have a whole lot. Is my life Christ? Is it for me to live? Is Christ? Paul said, God works death in us so that He may work life in you. Is there no cause? You see, we are so occupied with the vapor. We're so occupied with the vapor. And we'll fight it tooth and nail if it is uncomfortable to us, even though it may be the will of God. We don't even want to think about it. Just the thought of it, we'll start fighting against it. Because it's not in our comfort zone. You know what? God doesn't give a hooey about our comfort zone. God cares about His cause. For this purpose, Christ died. There was a cause. Is a servant greater than his master? Certainly not. There is a cause. You get people who give up the things of the very intelligent people, very, very intelligent, educated, or potentially could be very educated, potentially could have very lucrative, fulfilling careers, could have nice big houses and fancy cars and take good care of their children. And they drop everything and they do something stupid like go to Bible college, and then they do something stupid like become missionaries or in some of the capacity serve God. And they give up these lucrative careers that they could have had. And the world looks at them, and other believers even look at them and say, you got to be crazy. What are you doing that for? What in the world are you going to use this for? What purpose is there in it? And they say, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause that I should go out on the street and win that soul to Christ? Is there not a cause to go out and hand out a tract so that another person who is going into hell can be snatched out of Satan's kingdom and go into heaven for eternity? Is there no cause for this? Is there no reason? And the average Christian will say, well, certainly there is a reason. You don't want them to go to hell, then why aren't you doing it? If you believe it, then why aren't you doing it? You don't believe it, you just say it. You talk about it, but you don't believe. There is no cause. There is a cause. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. And this is why He died, so that He could seek and save that which was lost. There is a cause. Oh, I can't do that. I'll miss my favorite TV show. You know what? You're not going to miss it in eternity at all. I'll tell you one thing, though. The soul that got saved that night because you went out and handed out some tracts and talked to a couple of people, and one of them accepted Christ, is now in heaven for eternity. Oh, you'll be glad about that one. There is a cause. You see, we call ourselves Christians, but do we have the cause of Christ? We call ourselves Christians, but will we take His words seriously? Will we take Him seriously? Do we have this mind in us that was also in Christ Jesus, where foxes have holes and birds have nests, but He didn't have a place to lay His head? What if God called you to that one? Would there still be a cause? They spat on Him and they beat Him. They mocked Him. Was there a cause? Yes, there was. The Scriptures had to be fulfilled. Or He was not the Christ of the Scriptures. There was a cause. God always gives us the cause. Always gives us the cause. in a vapor, in a moment of time, we are going to be home. It's only a short time. We're going to be home. Heaven is in the next step. And whether that means 50 years or 50 seconds, heaven is in the next step. Because we're at the door. And the threshold is right there. And when the door opens, we're going through it, and we have no opportunity to see a thing about it. And we'll be home for eternity. I need to live in Christ's cause. And the only way to do that is to live by every word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it will be an empty, in one sense, an empty eternity in which I will be ashamed at the bema seat because I did not follow Christ. We live a vapor. We live a vapor. Go outside on a cold night, breathe into the air. That's your life. How quickly it dissipates, how quickly it goes away. And yet we do not have Christ's cause as the center of our lives very often. Oh, some people do, certainly. I don't mean to say everybody, but so many do not. The only way to live is by faith. And when I walk by faith, according to the Word and the leading of the Holy Spirit, He'll bring me into His cause. Amen.